All right, our next presentation is by Dr. Gohal Lee. Professor Lee is in epidemiology and he's the director of the Center for Injury Epidemiology and Prevention at Columbia University. He studied the role of alcohol and drugs in injury causation and trauma outcomes for over 20 years and published extensively in the field of injury epidemiology and prevention. Dr. Lee is also the editor-in-chief of Injury Epidemiology, an open access academic journal published by Springer for Columbia University. Gohal, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Hi, good morning. Alex Mizenko was an MPH student until a few months ago, and he graduated last May and is working on a new job, busy, and he couldn't make the trip. So I was his academic advisor, and the work I'm going to present for him was based on his thesis. And the research was supported in part by two grants, one from the CEC and the other from NIDA. Most of you are familiar with this famous crossover in injury mortality. One is the blue line shows the death rate in the United States from motor vehicle crashes has been coming down over the years, and the red line is the death rates from drug overdose, and it has been going up in the past 20 years. And around 2008, there is this crossover, and actually the mortality rate from drug overdose continues to rise, but at a slower pace. You mean this is the breakdown by drugs. As you know, the drug overdose epidemic was driven mostly by opiates. You may not be very familiar with this emerging crossover in injury mortality, and the blue line shows the prevalence of alcohol detected in fatal injury drivers in the United States by year. It has been fairly stable, around 36-40%. The red line shows the prevalence of non-alcohol drugs detected in the same fatal injury driver population. It has been increasing over the years, and I expected to see a crossover between the two lines maybe by 2020. And the data coming up now, the most recent available data is for 2013. They are almost there. Now it's 36.4% for alcohol versus 34.7% for non-alcohol drugs. So maybe as we speak here, this crossover might be taking place right now. And if you look at non-injured drivers, this is from the roadside survey, actually the prevalence of drugs, non-alcohol drugs, have already surpassed the prevalence of alcohol. And what are those drugs of non-alcohol substances? On top of the list is marijuana, and behind marijuana is narcotics, including opiates. So the relationship between opiates and motor vehicle crashes have been studied to some degree, but the findings are not really consistent and conclusive. It's reasonable to expect that use of opiates would increase the risk of motor vehicle crashes in drivers because opiates have the known side effects of drowsiness and, cognitive function impairment. So the objective of this study is to quantify the relative risks of fatal crash involvement associated with opiate use and opiate use in combination with alcohol or marijuana in drivers in the United States. We use population-based case control design, and cases were 1,841 fatal injury drivers tested for alcohol and drugs And they were identified from the 2006 to 2008 fatality analysis reporting system. And the controls were over 7,000 drivers who participated in the 2007 National Roadside Survey of Alcohol and Drugs. Cases were restricted to drivers who crashed at the same time windows as the National Roadside Survey was conducted in terms of the day of the week, month of the year, and not the month of the year because we were using 3-year data but the same time period of the year and the same day of week and same time of the day. And the roadside survey was done mostly on weekends and at that time. And the drugs were tested primarily based on blood samples for the cases, but for controls, drugs were tested using saliva samples. Here are some of the results. 4% of the cases tested positive for opiates, and 2.3% of the controls tested positive for opiates. And the crude oil ratio based on those results were 1.72, with the confidence in the 95% confidence interval ranging from 1.31 to 2.27. And if you adjust for, say, age and some other covariates, the adjusted oil ratio decreases a little bit to 1.68, but not much. And the elevated odds ratio associated with opiate use remained significant across age groups between sexes and also some other demographic such as race and ethnicity groups. As I mentioned, one of the objectives is to estimate the potential interaction between opiate use and alcohol use. And this shows the potential interaction using those drivers tested negative for both substances, opiate and alcohol, as a reference. As you can see, those tested positive for opiate but negative for alcohol, the odds ratio was 1.81. And those tested positive for alcohol and negative for opiate, the odds ratio was 17.3, and if the driver was positive for both substances, the odds ratio increases to 35. And there's a positive interaction no matter what kind of scale you use, additive or multiple scale you use, and there is a positive interaction. And if you look at the combination use between opiate and marijuana, and we do the same analysis. As you can see, opiate in this case is also associated with elevated risk of fatal crash involvement. And the marijuana alone, the third group, is associated with a doubling of the fatal crash risk. And then if you look at those who tested positive for both opiate and marijuana, the risk increases to almost 5. Again, as there is a positive interaction between the two drugs on the fatal crash risk. There are a few major limitations in the study. There is a difference in drug and alcohol tests between cases and controls, even though for the controls, there was a very rigorous validation of the saliva test versus blood sample test, and the correlation on the aggregate level actually was quite high. So it's regarded as feasible and valid to use the saliva test results for epidemiological research, but may not be adequate to estimate the quantitative concentrations of substances, and there is no quantitative testing data available on opiates and other drugs. under this study, just as based on the testing results, positive or negative, that a positive test result indicates the use of that substance, but may not necessarily mean the driver was impaired at the time of the test. In summary, opiate use is associated with a significant increased risk at the level about 72% increased risk of fatal crash risk. And more importantly, there is apparent, there is a positive interaction between opiates and alcohol and between opiates and marijuana. And poly drug use right now is a major issue. It's increasingly important in the drug driving epidemic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gohal. Are there one or two questions?
Dave.
Did you use all 50 states in this analysis?
Yes, because the control, the National Roadside Survey, not the 50 states, but the continental U.S. So the National Roadside Survey was not done in Alaska or Hawaii, so just in the continental U.S. So we selected our cases from the same continental states.
I asked because your previous study in American Journal of Epidemiology looked at only 6 states because you had the most confidence in their reporting.
Right.
Of the tests. And so how do you think in states that don't test as consistently is the really good test, which how do you think
we did a sensitivity analysis just using those states with 80% or higher testing rate, and the results turned out to be very similar. Maggie?
Yeah. I was wondering whether you looked at other combinations of
right. As you know, as the test, as the toxicology test results, it's very hard to test because you're testing the same substance, same chemicals. It's very difficult, impossible to know which drugs or medication the driver actually used. So it's a very good question, and unfortunately at this time, unless you can go back to ask what kind of drugs they used if a driver was tested positive.
So you reported that the interaction was there whether it was additive or multiplicative.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with that? I'm wondering, do you have insight into which lever we could pull to get a bigger bang for the buck working on alcohol or drug prevention, or do we have to work on both equally?
That's a very technical question. Personally, I avoid using the jargon interaction effect when I talk to the general public because it doesn't make sense to them. Rather, I just present the numbers, and that are much more comprehensive to them. And there is this debate as to whether or not, say, an additive scale for measuring the assessing interaction effect using odds ratios or relative risk is reasonable. Personally, I don't think it makes sense at all, but there is a school of thought in epidemiology that thinks the additive scale actually is more meaningful in terms of public health importance. Mm-hmm. We tried to use both scales to evaluate, to assess the interaction, and it turned out it's positive on both scales.
Great, thanks very much, Gohal.